Welcome to Review Set Scare with Jess and Blair. I'm Jess.
I'm Blair.
Blair, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing?
I am doing very, very well indeed. We've made it to February. Last month was a bit of a throwaway month.
Yeah.
But we're a bit more by the book this month.
Yeah.
Of course, this month's theme is based on a true story. So very excited to talk about some excellent movies this month. But before we do that, what do you say we chat a little bit about some horror news?
This is horror news.
Blairski, you want to kick this one off?
Totally different from last week when we had no horror news.
I've got quite a bit here.
The first are actually some movie announcements, some that kind of sprung up on me I'd never even heard of. Okay. So we got the release of a trailer for a movie called Long Legs.
Okay.
It looks pretty good. It's a very trippy trailer. Doesn't really tell much about the movie, but it looks very creepy, and it's starring Nicolas Cage.
Oh, gosh.
And Micah Monroe, I believe, is how you pronounce her name. There's no release date for it yet, but I do suggest if you haven't seen the trailer for Long Legs, check it out.
It's a very mysterious trailer, hey?
Very mysterious trailer. Yeah, definitely check it out. Another trailer that came out for a movie that also looks pretty good is one called Tarot. Or is it Tarot? Tarot?
Like the cards. Tarot.
The trailer is pretty creepy. I also read an article on iHorror where they say it has 13 ghost vibes.
Okay.
Mixed in with a little bit of Final Destination.
Okay. Excellent.
So Tarot. I'm just going to say Tarot because it's just easier for me.
Sure.
Check out that trailer. Definitely check out that trailer.
Awesome. And is there any kind of release date on that one?
I think there might be. I do not have it written down for that one.
Okay. Okay.
Next piece of horror news, though. Good news for Silent Hill fans. Mm-hmm. Especially Silent Hill fans who happen to own a PlayStation.
Oh.
Silent Hill, the short message, has been released for free and only on PlayStation.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay, I did not know about this. I will have to go and download it.
Yeah, apparently they're right now working on Silent Hill 2.
Right.
It's still in the works.
Right.
But they had made this as just kind of something for the fans.
While they wait.
Yeah, while they wait.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah. Cool.
So check it out. If you have a PlayStation 5, download Silent Hill, the short message for free right now.
Get it today.
Last piece, finally, of horror news I have is a new Texas Chainsaw Massacre is in the works. Titled Texas Chainsaw Legacy. No other information about it.
Interesting.
Right?
I'm curious, very curious to see what they're going to do with this one, especially after the last one that came out on Netflix that was, I think, all in all, underwhelming.
Yeah, it was a blood fest, but that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was lacking quite a lot. Blood was not lacking, but many other things, such as a script, were. Oh God! Mm-hmm. And no news on that one.
No more news other than the title. Yeah.
Okay. Texas Chainsaw Massacre Legacy.
Legacy. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what that's going to be about. Obviously,
yeah.
I'm a huge fan of the franchise.
I'm also curious if it's going to be a Netflix exclusive again, like the last one, or maybe it's just going to be a whole brand new startup. We'll see.
Only time will tell.
Yep.
I've got two pieces of horror news here. Believe it or not, I have some news regarding The Last of Us Season 2, a show that I have never talked about ever. Not. I feel like I talk about it every other episode.
All the time, yeah.
Anyways, really exciting cast announcement for season two. Canadian and comedy icon Catherine O'Hara will be joining the cast.
Right on.
Catherine O'Hara, of course, is starring in Schitt's Creek, Beetlejuice, The Nightmare Before Christmas, Home Alone 1 and 2, and legendary comedy movies such as Best in Show and Waiting for Guffman. Very, very, very excited that she's joining the cast and have no idea who she might be playing. but whenever I see her as part of a cast, I get excited because she's fantastic.
She is. She really is.
Yeah. Last piece of horror news. I have Tim Burton, legendary film director known for such films as Edward Scissorhands, Beetlejuice, and Pee-wee's Big Adventure, has been attached to direct a remake of Attack of the 50-Foot Woman.
Yeah, I saw that.
According to Deadline. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
No timeline yet for when we might see this movie. Obviously, he's just finished filming Beetlejuice 2. But it was also announced that Gillian Flynn will be writing the screenplay. Gillian Flynn is the author of Sharp Objects and Gone Girl. So that should be really, really interesting. But yeah, Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, that movie is going to be excellent.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. It's so random.
Very Tim Burton. Yeah. That's all I have for horror news. What do you say we jump into this week's episode? The very first episode in Based on a True Story Month goes to 2013's The Conjuring. Runtime on this one, 1 hour, 52 minutes. Blairski, initial thoughts on the runtime?
That's a long movie.
It's a little bit long. There's, we'll get into it in likes and dislikes, but yeah, they could have done some major cutting in this movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This leads us to fun facts.
Fun facts. Facts that are fun.
Blairski, do you have some fun facts for The Conjuring?
I do. So the movie was originally titled The Warren Files before being renamed as The Conjuring. Much better choice, by the way.
Yeah, I agree. Much better choice. But I mean, making sense in, I guess, The Conjuring universe, the Warren Files could have also have worked, I think. But it would have worked. Yeah, I think The Conjuring is great.
It's just a better name.
Agreed.
Principal photography took 38 days and all the scenes in this movie were shot in chronological order.
Very cool. And yeah, kind of rare to hear. It's it's rare that a movie is shot in chronological order.
It's usually shot just whatever works best time-wise, right?
Yeah. So well done on James Wan and everyone else who made it for having their shit together.
Yeah, no kidding. Grossing $319 million on a $20 million budget.
Holy.
Absolute wild kind of money, man.
Wow. Unbelievable.
My last fun fact I have is Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga spent 3 days with Lorraine Warren, taking in as much facts and information as possible before filming. Once filming started, Lorraine Warren actually came and visited the set as well, which I thought was pretty cool.
Very cool. There's actually, she has a cameo in the movie at around the 44-minute mark. She's sitting in the auditorium as Ed and Lorraine Warren are delivering their presentation.
Didn't even notice that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. She gets kind of a nice little close-up. Pretty cool. Controversial figure. I grew up with or watching Lorraine Warren whenever she was a special guest on A&E's Paranormal State, which was a really fun reality show about ghost hunters. And she would often come on as, I guess, a consultant. But pretty cool, pretty cool. I've got a couple pieces here. Apparently, the state of Rhode Island does not require home sellers to disclose documented histories of a location's criminal activity.
Really?
This could be why the parents were unaware of events that occurred at their home, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of rare that you don't have to tell, you know, someone murdered or
in their house
or died in that house. Ed and Lorraine Warren investigated the farmhouse in 1973 and in 1974. This was the first film directed by James Wan not to feature a cameo from Billy the Puppet from the Saw franchise.
He did Insidious before this, though.
Yep, but apparently there is a Billy the Puppet cameo.
In Insidious?
Yeah, I don't know where, but apparently there is.
Okay.
There is obviously another puppet cameo in this movie. We'll talk about that in likes and dislikes, I'm sure. That is all I have for fun facts. So let's just dive right in to the fine folks who worked on this film. Starting off, of course, the legend, directed by James Wan. Mm-hmm. Also directed 2004's Saw, 2010's Insidious, 2015's Furious 7, which I did not know.
No, I didn't either.
And 2018's Aquaman, which I also did not know.
Didn't know that either.
Just to name a few. Those are some pretty big movies from some pretty big franchises. This one, written by Chad Hayes, also wrote 2005's House of Wax and played a mercenary in the 1987 action classic Lethal Weapon. Also written by Cary W. Hayes, also wrote 2005's House of Wax, and wrote the 2001 Disney Channel movie, Jumpin' Ship, starring Joey, Matthew, and Andrew Lawrence, a.k.a. the Lawrence Brothers. Very, very neat. This one's starring, this is a big cast in this one.
It is.
Massive cast. Props to everyone in this. We're only going to talk about a few of them. Of course, starting off with Patrick Wilson as Ed Warren, also starred in 2010's Insidious, 2009's Watchmen, the 2003 miniseries Angels in America, 2004's The Phantom of the Opera, 2018's Aquaman, 2018's The Nun and its sequel, and will be returning as Ed Warren in the upcoming Conjuring film, The Conjuring Last Rites. Obviously James Wan really likes working with a lot of the same people.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. This one also starring Vera Farmiga as Lorraine Warren, also starred in 2009's Up in the Air, which she was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress. Right. She was also in 2006's The Departed and in 50 episodes of Bates Motel, where she played Norma Bates. Just to name a few, she has a massive resume. This one also starring Ron Livingston as Roger Perrin, also starred in 2002's adaptation, 1999's Office Space, and in 10 episodes of the incredible HBO series Band of Brothers, where he played Lewis Nixon. What a great miniseries.
Love that series, man. I've seen it so many times.
Me too. So good. And then finally starring Lily Taylor as Carolyn Perrin, also starred in 25 episodes of the hit HBO series 6 Feet Under, 2000's High Fidelity, 1999's The Haunting, and 2017's Leatherface.
Hmm.
Very cool. Synopsis for 2013's The Conjuring, courtesy of our dear pals at IMDb. Paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren work to help a family terrorized by a dark presence in their farmhouse. Boring yeah. Synopsis.
Yeah, it's short and sweet, though.
It's just so surface level.
it's
a surface level synopsis. Oh, goodness. This leads to one of our favorite segments of the show, Kill Count.
Kill Count. The time of the show we count. The kills.
Blairski, do we have a kill count for 2013's The Conjuring?
There are quite a few animal deaths in this movie. There's a dog, multiple birds, but no humans die in this film. So no, we do not have a kill count. Online, like certain websites, they do list a kill count of 22, but they're actually legit counting every bird that dies, and they're also counting the people that died previously in the house. So like the woman who hung herself from the tree out back, you know, they're counting that as a kill.
Right.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. I was going to say that. Zero. Obviously not counting, No deaths happen during the duration of the film. They all happen prior to the events of the movie.
Yeah, or they're animals, so no kill count.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. This leads us to likes and dislikes.
Likes. Dislikes. Likes. Dislikes.
And everything in between. The portion of the show where we chat about what we liked, what we didn't like, and everything in between. Blairski, would you like to kick this one off? What did you like? What did you not like?
Do you want to talk about the intro with Annabelle?
I do. I really do. Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think about that?
Obviously, we're huge intro fans. I liked kind of the introduction to Ed and Lorraine Warren. I was not crazy about the Annabelle portion.
No.
It was creepy, but it distracted, though. Basically, any aspect with Annabelle, there's, I think, three scenes with Annabelle in this movie, and they all distracted me from the rest of the movie.
Yeah, it really has nothing to do with the rest of the movie. Zero. I think the reason maybe they're doing that, because they were obviously planning an Annabelle movie on its own, you know, after this. So maybe they're trying to lead up to that in some sense. I don't know, but.
Totally. But like, focus on the task at hand. Yeah. Like, don't get ahead of yourself. Like, don't start, you know, showing off stuff three movies down the line. Let's just like relax. And so this is my idea.
Yeah.
I love a good scrolling intro a la the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I don't know how many times we've mentioned that during the podcast. And this movie has one of those.
Yeah, it does.
If we have a minute, I'd like to read it because it's actually really, really good.
Read away, buddy.
So it reads, since the 1960s, Ed and Lorraine Warren have been known as the world's most renowned paranormal investigators. Lorraine is a gifted clairvoyant, while Ed is the only non-ordained demonologist recognized by the Catholic Church. Out of the thousands of cases throughout their career, there is only one case so malevolent they've kept it locked away until now. Based on a true story, The Conjuring.
That's all they need.
Cut the Annabelle stuff.
Yeah.
Open with that. It's so much more creepier.
Yeah.
It's so subtle. And it's just like, I mean, with the Annabelle intro, it was just like, okay, so we were just expecting that to have more of an impact during the movie, which
it does not.
Completely unnecessary.
Also, if you cut that part out, you're cutting out about 15, 20 minutes of the movie. You can now have an hour and 35, hour, 40 minute movie instead of like a 2 hour movie, right?
Exactly. That's 15, 20 minutes that it made no difference in the movie.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, it was cool. I do like the whole Annabelle story, but time and a place. And that was not the time or the place.
And it was creepy. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But I think just throwing, like starting with a black screen and then that title card that I just read scrolling is way more creepier than a doll. Mm-hmm. Way more creepier.
Yeah. I do like that once this movie starts going, it doesn't stop. Like once the scares start happening and the haunts start happening, it is relentless. It is haunt after haunt, scare after scare after scare. It goes right to the end. I love that.
Yeah. Basically, the minute the family steps into the house, you know that something is off. Obviously, there's the intro or the intro to the house where the dog is not wanting to cross that threshold.
Sadie.
Immediately, you know something's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Sadie would not step foot in that house.
Yeah. And it's so subtle. That is like the most subtle that this house and everything that's haunting it is going to be. Everything else is in your face and completely messing with this family.
I feel like I'd pick up on that. Like if it was my dog, like, or brand new house, and my dog was doing that, I'd be like, something going on here.
We would immediately, both you and I would immediately go to, well, this house must be haunted.
Yeah. Instantly.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I will say I like the acting in this. Acting was fabulous in this. James Wan at his best, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
This is probably one of, if not my favorite movie he's directed.
Yeah.
And I do love, absolutely love, in this movie, they use practical effects.
Thank God.
So many possession movies and haunted house movies use so much fucking CGI that it takes you out of it. And this movie, it's all practical. And I love it.
I love it. Even I'm going to kind of digress a little bit, but even with the makeup, like, it is so subtle in this movie. I find that in so many possession movies, it's so over the top. And I thought that it was like any kind of makeup to anyone who was somewhat possessed. You could tell something was off, and sometimes it was pretty graphic, but it was a lot more subtle than a lot of other possession movies.
Oh, 100%. And
I really like that.
It makes it feel more realistic.
Yeah.
Doesn't so take you
I,
out of it.
I go on and on and on about sound in movies, especially movie soundtracks and things like that. I love how quiet this movie is. It is so, there's just so many things that add to the suspense of this movie, and the sound or lack thereof is one of them.
I
so
totally
creepy.
Agree. Yeah,
it's
I
so
totally
creepy.
Agree.
It's the same with lighting as well. It adds so much. There's one scene in particular where Carolyn is locked in the cellar and she lights a match. And her face is lit by the match. And then, of course, only to be surprised by the first of many jump scares in this movie. But it was so creepy. I mean, it's so quiet. There is one single match light. It's creepy as hell.
After I watched the movie, I watched like a series of behind the scenes of the making of this movie. And they showed how that scene was shot. And it was just her in the stairwell, cameraman right there, and she's just lighting matches. That's all it was. That was the only lighting.
Beyond creepy.
Yeah.
And it looks so good too.
Yeah.
And it is, it does lead to one of many jump scares. What did you think of the jump scares in this one?
I love them. I'm like, I love it. Yeah. It was definitely getting me a bunch of times.
Anytime, honestly, anytime they were in, there was a couple in the cellar, there was the maid screaming at the cop, the hand claps, of course, the hanging woman in the basement. There were so many jump scares, but it never felt like it was overdone. Like, it never felt like, oh, okay, I get it. They did a really good job with leading up to a jump scare. And just when you think something's going to happen, nothing happens. So or they throw it in when you least suspect it's going to be there.
Or even like playing mind tricks with you, like in the girl's bedroom where the one girl swear there is something in the corner, there is someone standing in the corner, but the sister doesn't see it. I love it.
It's so creepy because then you start, you're looking for it. So what this movie does, it's really good at adding kind of like blink and you'll miss it moments. So what I notice is, like you said, is the characters will see something that's not there. But then you start really trying to focus in and, well, is there something there? Like, I think I can maybe see a shape of something, but you can't.
Yeah, because there's nothing there.
Another thing that I noticed too is most of the rooms in this house have giant full-length mirrors. And mirrors are like super important in this movie. And you're constantly looking for like something to walk by the mirrors or something to, you know, to catch something quickly through the mirror. And it happens twice. And there's a mirror in almost like every single scene, and it only ever happens twice that I can think of. So again, it keeps you on edge. It's okay, something's gonna pop out and scare me while they're looking in the mirror, and it doesn't happen, or it does happen, but they utilize it really, really well.
That's the thing, it with all of it, like the entire movie is just sometimes it does happen and sometimes it doesn't happen, and it does, it keeps you on your toes the whole time.
Yeah absolutely. Is there anything you weren't crazy about?
The ending.
Conjuring?
The ending. Okay, so I found it kind of rushed, and I felt that they defeated the demon and like finished the exorcism way too easily and quickly for kind of how powerful it seemed to be leading up to that point. So I definitely did not like that part of the movie, but that's about it.
Which is really unfortunate, because that whatever 20 minutes left in the movie where they're performing the exorcism in the basement is, I mean, the bit with Carolyn wrapped in the bedsheet and the chair so levitating, creepy. Arguably the creepiest part of the whole movie.
So scary, man. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, any scene where there's a bedsheet in this movie is the creepiest parts of this movie. Yes. There's another one where Lorraine is doing the wash, and it's my favorite scene in the whole movie. But yeah, I felt like it was rushed as well. And it's like, that's what the whole movie was building up to. And that's what we wanted to see. And don't get me wrong, there's some really cool parts of the exorcism.
Oh, 100%. It is awesome.
But it's like, yeah, that wasn't a very powerful spirit, because they did defeat it pretty quick.
There wasn't even a priest there, was there?
No. No, there wasn't. After, because Ed had done his big heroics, well, I'm just going to do it, unsanctioned exorcism. And then, of course, once they finish, they get news from the Vatican that they've gotten the green light.
Yeah, after it was already done.
Yeah, too late. Oh, my goodness. That leads to kind of, I felt like at parts in this movie, it felt like a cheesy sitcom. You've got this big family experiencing paranormal activities until their new roommates, who are two professional paranormal investigators, move in, and they eat pancakes and they do each other's laundry and they help fix, you know, beat up old cars, and then they perform an exorcism. And it just seems like a very like cheesy 90s sitcom in some parts of the movie, where it's like, did they need to have the scene where they're, you know, getting sentimental over eating pancakes? Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not. But it's like, well, we're just trying to humanize these characters. And it's like, oh, we get it. We get it. But maybe too long.
Too funny.
For the most part, it was good. I did find that the dialogue was a little bit cheesy.
Fair.
I felt like there was a lot of you got to get out of here and I'm not leaving you dialogue.
Yeah, we're doing this together.
Yeah, I'm not leaving you. It just felt a little bit repetitive. But there were so many cool scenes in this movie that it completely made up for. Not the bad dialogue, but the somewhat eye-rolling dialogue in some moments. Yeah,
fair enough.
There's one more bit that I want to mention. And it's I loved the framing that they used when Ed and Lorraine were filming or documenting their investigation.
Mm-hmm.
It felt very much like a found footage movie, which of course you and I just love. So I thought those moments were really, really cool. I just wish more creepy things happened
during when they
were filming. Yeah, yeah. It would have made it that much scarier. But
totally agree.
Anything else you wanted to add? Anything else you liked or felt meh about?
No, I think I'm good, brother.
Okay, let's move on to our next segment, which is Lessons We Learned.
Lessons we learned from watching. Insert title of movie here.
Lessons we learned from watching 2013's The Conjuring, the portion of the show where we discuss the valuable life lessons we learned from watching said movie. Blairski, did you learn anything from watching The Conjuring?
Two things. First, if you have children, spend time with them.
Yes.
Don't leave them for days on end in a house filled with some of the most haunted items in the entire world.
Yeah,
I literally felt so bad for the Warren's daughter the entire movie. I'm like, they just moved into the parents' house, just like became part of their family.
That's honestly, it felt like that was another section of the movie that they could have omitted.
Mm-hmm.
Made no difference.
Yeah, the whole daughter being at home. Yeah.
Yeah.
last lesson I learned is don't play hide and seek. When the person seeking is blindfolded and there's a massive flight of stairs that they could easily fall down.
Yeah.
They're playing that clap hide and seek game and the mom is blindfolded and they're on the top level and she nearly almost goes over the railing at one point.
Danger. Danger. And there's only two of them in the house.
You just got to check your surroundings or only play it on like the main floor.
Yeah. Don't play it in a house you just moved into. I learned quite a few things here. An inhuman spirit is something that's never walked the earth in human form. Something demonic.
Mm, well said.
We had mentioned this earlier in Likes and Dislikes, but if a normally obedient dog refuses to cross the threshold of a creepy old farmhouse, chances are the house is haunted.
Yeah.
Also learned, or I guess reiterated, that music boxes are never not creepy. I also learned a boarded up cellar is always a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
I learned the three stages of demonic activity: one, infestation; two, oppression; and three, possession. I learned that bruising can be caused by one of two things, and only one of two things: a vengeful spirit or an iron deficiency. And then finally, Latin really is a forgotten art form.
Mm-hmm.
Blairsky, do you speak Latin?
I sure don't.
Maybe we should learn just in case. Yeah,
probably.
Oh, goodness. That's what I learned. This leads us to one of our favorite segments of the show, Line of the Night.
Line of the Night. Line of the Night. Line of the Night. Line of the Night. Line of the Night. Line of the Night. Line of the Night. Line of the Night. Line of the Night.
The segment of the show where we discuss our favorite lines from the movie. They might give us chills, they might give us the giggles. All we know is that they are our favorites. Blairsky, you got a couple lines from The Conjuring?
I do, and these ones all for sure gave me the chills.
Mm.
Ed Warren says, "The devil exists, God exists, and for us as people, our very destiny hinges upon which one we elect to follow."
Creepy.
April, the youngest daughter, she's holding that music box. She says, "When the music stops, you'll see him in the mirror standing behind you." She's talking about her invisible friend to her mom.
Rory. Yeah,
Rory.
So creepy.
The last line of the night I have, said by Lorraine Warren, "You have a lot of spirits in here, but there is one I'm most worried about because it is so hateful."
Words you never want to hear.
No.
Words you never want to hear in a brand new farmhouse that you bought. Oh, goodness. I've got a couple here. Christine says, "It's standing right behind you." Again, five words you never want to hear.
Yeah,
it's standing right behind you. And then finally, Rory, the ghost child, says, "Want to play a game of hide and clap?"
Mm-hmm.
No, Rory. I do not. Oh, goodness. This leads to our favorite segment of the show, Celebrity Lookalike Time.
Celebrity Lookalike Time.
The portion of the show where we take a look at the cast and discuss their celebrity doppelgangers. Spoiler alert, it usually comes down to the character's hairstyle. Blairsky, do you got a celebrity lookalike on this one?
I've got a few. I feel like they're all fucking out there, but they might be good. So we'll see. The character Cindy Perron, one of the daughters, who is played by Mackenzie Foy, has reminded me a little bit of Jane Levy from 2013's Evil Dead and 2016's Don't Breathe.
Okay.
Lorraine Warren, of course, played by Vera Farmiga, reminded me a little bit of Elizabeth Olsen, who, of course, plays the Scarlet Witch in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then finally, I think this one's way out there, but for some reason, Patrick Wilson, in this movie, he reminded me of a very, very young Johnny Cash.
Oh, okay. I can see that. It's the sideburns and the pompadour.
Hair. Yeah.
Yeah. He does have a 1970s pompadour for sure. Oh, goodness. I only have one/two, both for Ed Warren, a.k.a. Patrick Wilson.
Yeah.
First of all, he reminded me of Job, a.k.a. Gob Bluth, a.k.a. Will Arnett from Arrested Development.
Yeah, 100%.
And also Dennis Leary in one of my favorite movies of all time, The Sandlot.
Okay.
Yeah, he just has that look. That's all I have for celebrity lookalike time. What do you say we give 2013's The Conjuring our final rating, Blairsky, out of five? demonic possessions successfully ended, all due to happy thoughts of a wonderful day at the beach. What are you giving The Conjuring?
I'm going to be giving The Conjuring a solid 4. Demonic possessions successfully ended, all due to happy thoughts of a wonderful day at the beach, out of 5.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I had mentioned it in our selection show that I hadn't been this scared watching a movie in a while. Mm-hmm. The Conjuring is one of the scariest that I've seen in recent years. So I agree. 4 demonic possessions successfully ended, all due to happy thoughts of a wonderful day at the beach, out of 5. If you haven't seen it, go and watch it. If you have seen it, go and watch it again. Mm-hmm. Turn off the lights, settle in, prepare to get scared. This is a really fun watch.
I feel like I've seen every movie in the Conjuring universe, and the original Conjuring is the best one.
Doesn't get much better than that.
No.
Yeah. Well done, James Wan. You did. Yeah,
you did.
Yeah. This really was a fun one to start the month off with.
Yeah, it was.
On a true events, true stories. I'm excited for what else this month is going to bring us. But until then, this has been Reviews That Scare with Jess and Blair. I'm Jess.
I'm Blair. Remember to stay scary.
And eat every a sandwich. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Reviews That Scare. Make sure you check out our Linktree at linktree.com/reviewsthatscare. That's linktr.ee/reviewsthatscare, which has links to our Instagram, YouTube, Patreon, Twitch, and many other things. If you'd like to email us, you can reach us at reviewsthatscare@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember to stay scary and eat every sandwich.
A proud member of Pod Nation TV.